Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast Emergency Podcast Edition. Why? Because Nebraska, for the fourth time in school history, has a win over a number one ranked team, and they did it on the home floor at Pinnacle Bank Arena on Tuesday night. I am Mike Shaver, joined by Brian Christofferson. Brian, I'm still like a little just wondering if I'm going to wake up from some sort of fever dream here. Like, it just, everything that happened last night is so un-Nebraska basketball, so unexpected. And quite frankly, I go back and it's like every single player on the court, for the most part, came up huge time and time again at different points in this game to help push Nebraska to an 88-72 win over number one Purdue. You were there, obviously, covering it. And I don't know what it was like in the media section, but for those of us over where I sit, it was loud all night long. People were like ready to stand. They were yeah, into it. You know, sometimes like the crowd is just sort of, there's like a little bit of a malaise to it. That was not last night at all. And obviously the number one team in Nebraska playing the way they did certainly helps things out, but memorable night in Pinnacle Bank Arena, to say the least.
Yeah, what helped Schaefer was the first 2 minutes of the game. I didn't know that Nebraska was going to win, obviously, but they set a tone that like they're going to make Purdue earn everything it gets tonight. They jumped ahead, and there was even a play at the basket where it was a ridiculous charge call. I think it was on Bryce Williams or somebody. It should have been an and one opportunity. But Nebraska was still ahead, and they were just attacking, and you could tell there was a relentlessness to their defense that was missing Saturday in Madison. There was a possession in that game with like 5 minutes left where Purdue actually hit a three, and it got it to like six, but with about five on the shot clock. But Nebraska's defense on that possession was just like, they were just busting their butts on it. Like the way guys were scrambling around. And even when Purdue made the shot, I was thinking to myself, like, man, like even when they've made shots, and they made 13 from behind the arc, Purdue did. Nebraska, I felt like, knew exactly what they wanted to do on defense. Yes, you have to give a little sometimes when you're trying to double down on Edie and there's going to be open shots, but everything had a purpose to it. And it was so just well executed. And you're right, every guy who stepped on the floor did something really well. Like Josiah Alec had the shot of the game, honestly. When it was 51-50, it was like okay, Purdue's doing their thing, this is where it gets sad. And Alec hits the three from the corner,
yeah,
and makes it a 4-point game, and you're like, oh holy smokes. Like when the ball left his hand, nothing against Josiah, but I was like, no. Then it's like, yes, yes, yes. Nice shot, Joe. And then Nebraska gets that run and they go up 62-52. And yep, then you could feel it in the building. It was just like this intensity building with every minute, like they're going to do it. And It was a special night. Like it almost added to it, Mike, that it wasn't full because of the snow and the cold, I think, and a late start. And maybe there's a few people, if they're honest, who doubted it was going to go well. And so the third deck wasn't full, but there was almost something extra to it that, like, for those in the building, it's like they had come through the snow and the cold to watch this, and they were being rewarded, and they were, like, in turn paying that back to the team as this thing built up. And it was kind of a fun deal.
Yeah, that Alec moment, I just remember saying out loud to the people I sit around, just like, this is something, you know, completely obvious, like someone needs to hit a big shot here. And then the ball ends up in the corner and he goes up with it. My buddy, the guy that I have season tickets with, he's doing the thing where it's just like, no, 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 no. Yeah. Like one of those. It reminded me of an assistant basketball coach that I had in high school who was like, you know, if we start screaming, no, 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 yeah, you get to stay in the game. But if it's ever no, 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 no,
yeah,
you're coming out.
And yeah, so exactly.
That was definitely a no, 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 yeah moment. And honestly, Josiah Alec had that big three, but there was another basket that he made on a, I don't know that it was a backdoor cut, but they were able to drop him the ball on the inside, mm-hmm. and he got position, went up with the left hand, real strong. And it was just like, everything just clicks on one of those nights. And, you know, whether it was that corner three, whether it was a huge CJ Wilcher inbounds corner three, I mean, it felt like there was certain spots from the floor where Nebraska was shooting. And it felt like it was an 80% chance that it was going in. And those spots were further out from the rim than they were closer in. I mean, the thing is, and this is true of every Nebraska basketball game ever, or any basketball game for that matter, they missed a lot of shots inside, you know, that 5-foot range. Now, obviously, Edie plays a big part of that and produced defense and everything else. But there was some pretty good looks that they didn't convert inside. And then on the flip of it, I mean, they made so many contested threes that even just looking back, I mean, there's one from Tominaga where I don't even understand the physics of how and why he put as much arc on it that he did. And it just destroys the back of the rim on its way in. Like it was, just impressive all the way around. I want to stick with Rink Mast right at the start. I mean, I think at one point Nebraska's five starters had 18 total points and he had 14 of them. Gave them a big, big lift early in that game. And I think, Brian, you know, one of the questions I had about Rink Mast coming out of the Creighton game and the Minnesota game is he physical enough to play in this conference? Can he withstand the beating that you have to take if you're the big man? And Nebraska just doesn't have a lot of great depth there. I mean, you have Alec, you know, Jawan Gary has not been as good. You mentioned this on Tuesday's podcast, has not been as good necessarily rebounding the ball lately. And so for Rink Mast to kind of go in there and play the way he did early in that game to allow everyone else to find their footing, just a huge, huge part of it. And it just felt like all of those guys, whether it was Mast, Tominaga, Wilcher, Hoiberg, Williams, Gary, they all had these little stretches where they kind of took over and they did their thing. And you had a great quote. Well, you didn't have the quote, but Bryce Williams had a great quote.
No.
Yeah. Bryce Williams had the great quote that you put in a great article about, you know, just how deep they are and that they feel like they all have that ability to kind of take over in moments. And it felt like that was very evident at times on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Rink. We could go down the list, frankly. That's what was so special.
I would love to. Let's do it.
Well, I mean, every guy, but Rink Mast, you're right. In the first half, he was the guy. He wasn't keeping it afloat. I felt like Nebraska was playing fine, but it was going through him, and he was you could tell had an intensity to his game, especially on the defensive end. I loved his quote in the post game about, like, I just wanted to frustrate him, Edie. You know, I just
he
wanted
knew he was in his head before the first media time.
Yeah, and he said Edie was complaining about a call or something, which I think Edie's a pretty good guy from what I know of him, by the way. But that's competition, of course, and Edie's, like, kind of upset about something, and Mast is thinking to himself, like, exactly, my goal, I'm achieving my goal early in this game. And it was amazing the job that he and the whoever would collapse with him would do. We have a photo that's going to run with the Bryce Williams story I'm about to put up after this, where it's Bryce and Rink, I think, around Edie, and he's just swarmed. And that it's like so like such a snapshot of like that first half in particular, where Edie had 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 fouls. And, you know, Nebraska did have to give up some threes in the process of that. But even with that, like I said, they were making the passing lanes tough for Edie when he was trying to kick it out to guys. And Mast, I think I already knew he's a good player. He's shown himself. And I mean, he's been big in big games, honestly. Like K-State on one wheel had a great game. In this game where it's, you know, this is a season turning type game for Nebraska, and the way that it like puts you on the other side of the bubble talk going forward the rest of the way, because you have that win in your pocket against a team very few will beat. And he was just special all night. But let's go to Sammy Hoiberg. I mean, Sam Hoiberg was just
those relentless. Steals, man. Those steals to layups, like you can just feel the building build to just the total top off. There was one that led to the timeout for Matt Painter, right? Like you got the big three from Tominaga. Purdue comes back down, tries to throw it out to the wing, and he snipes it and finishes with the layup, and the whole place just went nuts. I can't remember the context. I think it was right at the end of the first half, maybe, to kind of help build some of that lead.
Made it 36-30, I think, and that was a 13-0 stretch at the end of the first half. He also had a steal, which was even higher degree of difficulty, where it didn't look like he could get it, and he somehow knocked it forward to himself, and that was the end of the run that made it 62-52 after Purdue had cut it to 51-50. But he was like that all night, even when he didn't get the steals. Like he was just like all over the place. And he had a layup also that was incredibly difficult. Where,
up and under.
Yeah, it was something else. And then I love the play where we're sounding like Chris Farley, like in the old SNL skit. Wasn't that awesome when this happened, you know, sort of thing, when Bruce Willis walked in glass and Die Hard. Wasn't that awesome? But there was a play near the end of the first half when Nebraska was on that run. And it looked like Casey was going to take the three. And no one would have minded that, of course. But Casey had the guy coming at him fast, flipped it over to Sammy, who was wide open. And it was just such an unselfish play. And Hoiberg was clutch, you know, he just knocked it right down. And that's the way they played all night. It was just such smart basketball. And I don't know, we're giddy about it because it's a sort of thing like that. There's been a lot of, you know, it's the old Shawshank Redemption, like you're crawling through 5,000 feet of crap or whatever, and then here's the rain washing it off. This team right now, they're building off of what last year sort of did, and it feels like they do really have something going where they have a lot of different weapons and everybody's accepting their role, which could lead us, I guess, to CJ Wilcher if you want to talk about him. I mean, that second half from him coming off the bench with 16 points, monster.
Yeah, I mean, I have been as hard on CJ Wilcher as anyone, mostly because of his defense. But when you're coming out and you make every shot you take, whether it's from the floor, behind the arc, or at the free throw line, you're doing something special. And, I mean, he ripped the nets on pretty much every shot. Like, it was one of those where they were no doubters, Brian. I mean, there was a couple coming off the off-ball screens that he just caught and let fly. That from my angle, from where I sit, like you could just tell they were just heat seeking missiles that were going to just rip the cords there. And so I mean, you look at the lift that gives them coming off of the bench, you know, that you've got this other scorer that can help pick up the slack. I mean, the thing that's fascinating, Brian, is they have these different rotations and you think to yourself, okay, you know, Mast is on the bench right now. It's Alec, it's Lawrence, it's Wilcher, you know, it's Hoiberg and it's Gary. Juwan Gary's going to have to really kind of carry this a little bit. And instead, CJ Wilcher just starts knocking down key shots. Like, it just goes back to that Bryce Williams quote. Like, they are so much deeper than we're used to seeing. I mean, we're not – when Nebraska has been good, at least in my adult life, it has largely been Taran Petaway was carrying this team and Walter Pitchford and – Siobhan Shields pitched in, and that's how they made it happen in 2013-14. But that was, you know, you get a key contribution from Ray Gallegos here or there, David Rivers, Leslie Smith had an important rebound, things of that nature. The 2017-18 team, you know, was maybe a little bit closer to this, where you had Copeland and Roby and Glenn Watson and guys of that nature. And I can't believe I forgot James Palmer, my favorite of the group. But, yeah. You know, they're just so deep and they're varied in what they can do. I mean, I'm jumping around here, but we saw Rink Mass basically, you know, put on the figurative sky goggles of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and hit a skyhook off the backboard at one point. Like, I mean, they were doing things that you just don't see Nebraska do ever. And you don't really see college basketball teams do it a ton either. And I mean, shooting, what did they finish from behind the arc? Like, 13 to 21, something
14,
like that?
14 to 23, 61%.
That's not normal.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the Casey shot, I think, earlier. If it's the same one I'm thinking of, the shot where I was like, unbelievable.
Nearly hit the scoreboard up above them.
That yeah, kind of I don't thing. Know if we're thinking of the same one. He had a couple tough ones, but the one where it was 77 to 70 and his shot made it 80 to 70.
Okay, I'm thinking of one earlier in the game.
He kind of stepped back a little bit, but man, the defense was so good by Purdue on it. And he had like a 6'5 guy on him. And just he puts that in, and I just like, when you have that sort of weapon in a moment like that, it's just it's something that, you're right, we haven't seen it around here as much. But, you know, the thing I do kind of like about this team, it might have been an old Tim Miles quote where when he was here, he's like, don't put that crap on me. You know, like whatever the baggage is from past Husker basketball, it's not part of me. You got to remember with these guys, a lot of that's not attached to them. It's not attached to Bryce Williams or Rink Mass. And even though Fred Hoiberg's had difficulties in his first few years at Nebraska, sometimes I remind myself, Fred's seen winning big at Iowa State and like what it's like to, you know, be on that stage and beat North Carolina in the second round and stuff. Like, he's used to this stuff a little bit. And so I do like the fact that even after the win, there was some composure about it from everybody that talked. It was a great win, but they know that you got to make the other stuff happen over the next 2 months to make it really stand out the way you want it to in March.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
The things that's been tough to me with the Fred Hoiberg era of Nebraska basketball is you have this acknowledgement that they have this coach that has had a ton of success. He's coached at the highest level at the NBA. He was a great player. He understands basketball in a way that few could ever match mentally. But the teams that they kept putting together did not seem to represent anything of the style of which he'd want to play. Like, it was just a totally, totally sort of oddball kind of combination. And then they made some staff changes. He made some changes in how they did some things. And you saw with last year's team closer to what they want to be. And I've mentioned this several times. I had a conversation, you know, with him this summer and was around him talking about it. And he talked about what an important piece Rink Mast is to get them closer to what they want to be or what he wants to be on offense. and I go back to Sioux Falls and listening to Wayne Tinkle and then reading these quotes from Matt Painter and Tom Izzo, I think, said similar. I mean, veteran coaches, what Nebraska's doing on offense is not easy to defend. Yeah. I mean, they have multiple different ways to attack you. They are really, really good at creating backdoor action. Like, if you get caught up trying to defend on the front side, there's Kase, there's Juwan Gary, there's Bryce Williams cutting to the hoop. And Rink Mast is a good post passer. Josiah Alec can be a good post passer. So they have so many effective ways to score. It's nice to see, one, Hoiberg continue to churn and work through and figure out what wasn't going well the first few years, found a recipe, and has now finally kind of put together the complementary pieces to look more like his teams when he was successful at Iowa State. And it took a long time, and there's a lot of ugly in there. But you can see why so many of these college coaches revere this kind of offense that he can put together, the sets that they can put together, what Nebraska can do, and how they can frustrate you. I mean, the quote from Matt Painter said everything last night.
Yeah, I mean, it is year two, basically, of a reset. Like, he reset things in last year's team. If Nebraska basketball does take off, like, they get, you know, and it's consistent from now on, that team last year will have a special place in people's hearts because it laid a foundation, I think, about what you want to be. And this team this year is right now trying to build on that. But you're absolutely right. And he's doing it with guys, you know, Mast and Bryce Williams weren't like the most like highly rated portal guys. But I think this staff thought they had something that others didn't necessarily see. They knew that Bryce Williams had finished his Charlotte run very strong. Like, he was on a roll and his best basketball was just starting to happen, and he's 6'7" and he's got the genes of a scorer and his family and all that stuff. And like you said, you've talked to Fred about it in the summer. Rink, I think they thought was going to be the leader of this bunch, and it's turning out to be exactly like that. And the exciting thing is, oh, by the way, they're actually juniors, technically, both those guys. Yeah. So this is actually a deal where they can come back if they and all that. But Bryce Williams did not think he was going to play yesterday or Tuesday morning. He said he got up and wasn't feeling too great, made the walk to the bathroom, as we all do for the morning. And we won't go into that, but this is about the ankle. He wasn't feeling good. He was like, it's not going to happen. The day goes on, it's late game, he's like, kind of, well, let's give it a shot. He gets on the court, he's like, let's go. He's starting to feel better, and he basically has a triple double. You know, he has a
he's that charge to play, took him away from a double double for sure.
Yeah, he's starting to play more of the lead point guard spot, looking more comfortable in it. He had nine points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals, and the grown man play of the game, in my opinion, near the end. Edie gets the ball low and is going to either lay it up, dunk it, usual stuff. And he swats it clean as can be from behind against the glass and claims it. And it reminded me a little bit of when they were at K-State. This is when I started to be like, okay, this team's really interesting to me, because I was looking out there and K-State's got dudes. They're a good program. And I was like, Nebraska looks like they got some grown men out there in certain spots. And maybe it's because Bryce, we've said this before, we like his beard. He's got a full beard like you do. It adds to it. But like, you need those guys who, like, you know, like, the you can't get the pickle jar open, but they can do it. Like, you got that old man strength. You got those guys on your roster. And I feel like that when I watch Bryce and Rink operate a little bit out there, there's some of that that veteran savvy and just like, yeah, we'll be fine here, that comes out in them. And Bryce had a tremendous game. He played almost 30 minutes after not thinking he was going to play at all. And you wouldn't have even known he was injured, like, or that was a thing, really, by the way he performed. It was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the ability that he has to kind of stuff the stat sheet. I mean, it's interesting because I feel like we've seen different versions of Bryce Williams throughout the season, right? Like, we've seen the three-level scorer. We've seen a guy who can put up 20 points in a game. We've seen somebody that can knock down a critical shot. We see a guy that can create his own shot. And now we're seeing someone that can help facilitate an offense where, you know, he's one of your top options, but he's also smart enough to know CJ's on fire, Tominaga's on fire, got to get the ball down to rink mast. I mean, so it's impressive in the sense that these guys play well together. You know, we've definitely watched teams where there's talent, but they don't play well together. Or there's one piece on the court that seems to, I don't know how to say this in any sort of better way, but seems to kind of almost antagonize his teammates while playing out there. And he could be a scorer, but it feels like it's a one versus five versus five versus five. And this feels collectively like a team. And I don't want to like overdo it. And Nebraska still has to go out and win games. Like that's the other thing. The season didn't end last night. You're not guaranteed anything because you beat Purdue. But the fact that they can beat Purdue, the fact that they can play that game, the fact that Pinnacle Bank Arena can absolutely be a raucous environment, it really gives a kind of a higher ceiling to this team than I really anticipated. I mean, I was pretty beat down when the way they lost to a Minnesota team, which, by the way, second in the Big Ten right now.
Three and one, yeah.
Yeah, their wins are against Nebraska, Michigan, and Maryland, I believe. So they have performed a lot better than I anticipated. And so credit to their program. But for Nebraska to kind of turn this around the way they have, for them to collectively play well together and different guys to step up and do it, it really does let your brain kind of fire a little bit. Like, okay, this conference is deep. I mean, it feels like there's not a lot of easy games. You look at the schedule, you got Iowa on Friday, you turn around, you got to go to Rutgers. You've got Northwestern coming in for the next home game. The only other team to have beaten Purdue this year. Right after Northwestern, you're getting an Ohio State team that looks like they're reinvigorated from a down year last year. So there's a lot of reason to kind of, you know, look at this. And there's a lot of big wins that could be left on the schedule. And there's a lot of critical games up ahead. How do you feel like they respond to a win like last night as they go into Iowa City on Friday?
I don't want to be a downer. I think Friday is a real challenge. Like I really do. Like, because I know it's like human nature, like to, especially if you're a casual observer of it, to be like, oh, they beat number one. And if like, let's say they go to Iowa and it doesn't quite go well and you lose on the road, there's going to be like, you know, there'll be some of that from people. Don't do that. But hopefully they go take care of business. But this is going to be it's tough to win on the road in the league. It just is. And Iowa's not chopped liver. I know they're not as good this year as they have been, but they're going to be fighting for their season's life. Yeah. And if they have a night where they shoot it really well and you're on the road and stuff like that, it can be tough. But what this team has shown Nebraska is that on any night, they're capable of beating or going toe to toe with anybody in the league. You know, they should be the favorites, honestly, in a few of these games that we wouldn't have thought they were the favorites in, I think, because what's different about a couple of these wins is you beat number one last night, but it's not as though Purdue shot like 30% from the field.
They
and
played
it was just a train wreck game for them. You know, like I don't want to diminish Nebraska's win at Creighton last year, but that was a different kind of win where CU got a look after look from three and they could just not hit the broadside of the barn. Last night was just a legitimate, like Nebraska played better against a very good team that was playing okay. Maybe not their best, but they're playing okay. Michigan State played okay against Nebraska and Nebraska beat them. And so they have beat teams without just flukiness or like, oh, they had an off night. It's one of those weird deals where number one just didn't show up. That wasn't the case. I think Purdue was ready to play. I think they hit some shots. And if you had told Matt Painter before the game, you're going to hit 13 threes, you're probably going to think, yeah, we're winning that game by double digits. Instead, Nebraska holds Zach Edey to 15 points and 7 rebounds.
2 points at half, right?
I wrote a story leading into the game where I said, you can't really shut down Edey. You know, you can try to contain him a bit. They did kind of shut him down. I mean, not completely, but it was close enough, as close as you can get in that particular game. So that's why you have hope as they go to Iowa and Rutgers. Why not win them both? But if you can at least get one of those two, keep above that 500 mark. Northwestern at home in Lincoln will be a huge game. I think that's the day Danny Nee and that team comes back. So Hopefully Nebraska's above 500 in the league, which they should be if they can win one of the next two at least, or both. And there'll be so much energy in PBA the rest of the year. It'll be fun. That's what last night gave us, too. It gave us like a couple months of, I think, that place is going to be on fire now whenever Nebraska steps in the building, and that's always fun.
You know what I've been thinking about is you were talking about how Purdue played last night. Purdue played a better game last night than they did when Nebraska almost upset them last year in December.
They
played in that overtime game and they had the opportunity to win that. That was a version of what you were talking about. That was a Purdue team that was a little off. Nebraska was able to hang around, made some critical shots, but couldn't knock the Giant down. Whereas last night, the Giant played fine. Nebraska just played better. And that's what I sort of mean, where it changes the calculus I have about what the ceiling of how this team can play, who they can play with. I said right at the beginning of this, I had worried about their ability to play against some of these physical Big Ten teams inside. I don't have that fear anymore. I think they definitely have the ability to body up and have that. Now, can they bring it every night? I don't know. But when they're at Pinnacle Bank Arena, aside from that, no show against Creighton in December, and you could say Creighton just avalanched them if you want to. Quite frankly, Nebraska feeds off of that crowd really well. I mean, the North Dakota game maybe aside, but Pinnacle Bank Arena is a really special place, and it was rocking last night. And you know, when you have guys like Tominaga that are just emotionally invested in this thing, and they get the crowd going, and you know, you can paint a picture why it's a difficult place for teams to come in and play. And I think it'll remain that way the rest of the year. So if Nebraska can handle a bunch of home games and steal a couple on the road, they're not only not going to be playing on Wednesday night in the Big Ten tournament, which is their traditional spot. We could be talking about, potential for that double bye if they're really able to handle things at home.
Yeah, it's an interesting league because there's some teams that have been known as programs that have, been in the upper half of the Big Ten. You know, like Michigan is really scuffling. Yeah. And so you're going to get a couple cracks at them, I think, if I remember. They get them twice.
The last game of the year is on the road.
Yeah, they play there. Who knows what's their situation will be by that point, you know, the way that's going. But Rutgers is not they got a nice win the other night against Illinois, or Indiana, but Rutgers has not been quite what they were. Iowa hasn't been. I think they'll be a tough game Friday, but there's just opportunities right there in that sort of middle section of the league for Nebraska, I think, to really establish himself as at least upper middle, if not more. I know they're thinking probably more, but if you're upper middle, that's not bad, and that could probably get you where you want to be. So the door's wide open. And last night just changed the calculus of everything, Schaefer, because now you've got that. When you talk resumes and you put it on the screen, I mean, that win, when you look at Purdue and who they've beaten, there's sometimes a team, as you know, in basketball, you obviously have to be good to be number one in the country, but once in a while, there'll be like a number one who sneaks in there for 1 week in the middle of the year, who's kind of worked out and they fall back eventually. I don't think Purdue's that way at all. They've beat Arizona. They beat Alabama. They beat Tennessee, Marquette, Xavier, Illinois. I'm leaving someone out, I'm sure. They have a heck of a resume. And so the fact that Nebraska is one of, like, I bet you Purdue only has three or four losses by the end of this thing. I don't think they'll lose many more. I'll be surprised if they do. But and Nebraska's gave them one of those, and they don't have to play them again.
Yeah.
Until maybe the tournament.
Well, if Nebraska gets a rematch against Purdue in the tournament, that's probably says good
right.
things about where things are at this program, particularly if you're talking about a semifinal or something of that nature. So we can dare to dream another day on if they get Purdue again this year, but just an outstanding performance in Lincoln. And it's also one of those things that's really cool. Matt Rhule, I watched him and his family bundled up, wandered through the crowd, headed to their spot to get into the building. And, you know, I posted this on the board last night. It's one of those where the looks on their faces was sort of that, like, it's a very Midwestern thing where you're bundled up in bad weather and you're just sort of, you're going to something and it doesn't look like there's any enthusiasm for it, but you're going because you're going, you know?
Right.
And then you see just the sheer joy and excitement he has of being down on the court with the fans that storm down there. You have Trev Alberts in the building. I love that you have your two biggest representatives of Nebraska athletics are as invested in other teams and other sports as they are in football. Like, I think that's such a healthy thing for this athletic department. And I think it just, again, it feels different around here. Obviously, football has a long way to go, but there's just a little bit more life and a little bit more vigor in Nebraska athletics than just a handful of years ago.
Yep. And I saw Ed Foley, and I think it was his son, watching the game in one of the sections. And stuff like that's really cool. And also, I mean, I would think Matt Rhule and those guys have an understanding of what it could look like around here if you won at a high level. But when you're sitting down there and you see a night like that and you see just how much it matters to this fan base when the Huskers do well, they've seen it with volleyball, of course.
Yep.
This is just further confirmation to that of like these people want it so bad. And with basketball, I've always said, like, I think Nebraska wants it this fan base wants it as bad as anybody out there. They whenever there's a glimmer of hope with it, you see just how much enthusiasm there is. And I've said for a long time, nobody would draw like Nebraska has drawn for basketball. Like, we can say, oh, there's only 8,000-9,000 people. Most programs and after like three or four losing seasons would be drawing like 3,000 people to some of these games, 4,000. I'm not, you know, it's impressive that people have kept showing up. They want to believe in it. And last night they were rewarded. The team rewarded them. And in turn, they paid it back to the team by, I think, making it a very difficult environment for Purdue to function in as that game got going in the second half.
Man, that's such a good point, because you have a team like Rutgers that has made the tournament several times, has had NBA players, has had some great success here recently. Then you'll see a game on BTN where Rutgers is playing, like, I don't know, Maryland or whoever at home, and there's nobody there. Like, there's just absolutely nobody there. I mean, this place is so starved for basketball success, and a lot of people got to enjoy something last night that who knows when it'll happen again. But I definitely, like you, really excited, one, to see what happens on the road these next couple games. Two, that crowd against Northwestern on a Saturday afternoon, that'll be something too. And it's a good Northwestern team.
Like, yeah, they're really good.
That's a game that, Nebraska Northwestern, you don't necessarily think it's going to be a basketball classic, and they could put on a show here in a week or so. But all right, Brian, anything you want to finish up with? And I want to encourage everyone, get to Husker 24/7. Brian's doing a fantastic job covering this team. Lots of content from last night's game, stuff from multiple players, Hoiberg as well. And he's even teased he's got a Bryce Williams story that's going up sometime here on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll have a few things today. This, obviously, Bryce Williams will do going to have a behind the arc thing later with a few other pointers. But people should jump on the bandwagon if they're not on it. See, what's the worst that could happen? You could just really get hurt, you know, like emotionally. But that's okay.
You've already been hurt emotionally. If you're a Nebraska basketball fan, you're dead inside, which makes this the best possible way for things.
Exactly. That's sort of what I was getting at. So, like, you have nothing to lose at this point. So jump on the bandwagon if you weren't on it. Let's see what happens. And if the next week goes poorly, we can talk about how nothing – this is – things have got to change around here. No, it was – last night was sweet. It was – I didn't expect it at all. That's my final thought. I went to the – I got bundled up, got out in my car and drove slowly to the arena. And I was like, man, I just didn't see it. Like, I didn't know how much Bryce was going to play. And I just thought this is going to be like a 15-point loss. That's what I really thought. And dead wrong.
Yeah.
It was great to be dead wrong.
You know, it's one of those things, like, yesterday didn't have a great day, variety of things that just didn't go well for a bunch of different reasons that don't matter to anyone else but me. And then you, it's an 8 o'clock start, you know, you're like having to talk yourself into it. I'm walking up to the arena and a radio listener named Mike, a longtime radio listener named Mike, recognizes me and says, "Hey, I'm hearing that Bryce and Rink Mast haven't even been down on the court to warm up yet. Like, if they don't play, this is going to get ugly." And I'm thinking to myself, cool, I'm going to be leaving like late in the second half, just trying to, I'm going to become beat the traffic guy. I'm going to be the worst type of person that I've always mocked. And that was my attitude going into this thing. And then lo and behold, there's Bryce, there's Rink Mast, and, you know, there's the game. So that's why we go to these things. That's why you cover sports. It's why fans, you know, attend it. It's why you watch. It's why you subscribe to Peacock. You know, these are the things that you do to be able to witness moments that you might not get to see again. I mean, they have four total wins over number one teams in the course of Nebraska basketball history. And I can think of so many times, Brian, that I've walked into the Pinnacle Bank Arena or the Bob Devaney Sports Center. I can think of being a student in January of 2007, getting in line for Big Monday at noon on a Monday. And obviously Big Monday. Chat Mike, nice work there. You know, getting in line at noon for a Kansas game and Nebraska scores 13 points in the first half. You know, like there's so many memories like that, that when you show up and you see a game like last night, that's going to stick with people forever. And the photos and the content and all of it on social media, it's been a long time since I've just like sat there and just was mesmerized by everyone else's pictures and video and all of the stuff. It was really fun. It was great.
Yeah, it was funny you brought up Peacock. I was wondering how many people subscribed at like halftime with that score 41-30. Or that they are like, "Oh, do we still have that from the football season? We might." Yeah. That sort of deal. But also, I got some feedback, and we'll give a shout out. I'm happy that Ken Pavelka made it through. I think he's still with us. Like, that seemed like a game that would take him out. Like, just, you know, like just screaming and, you know, that's the end of him. And he just put out his radio call, which I'm going to go back and listen to, because I think it'll be a lot of fun. But I got some messages from people that were sort of enjoying like the old school, like they didn't have Peacock, they weren't getting it. And so they're listening on the radio, which good on them. And we're enjoying the heck out of it, just living through it with guys who like Husker basketball. So all that stuff was just kind of added to it. Was actually kind of fun that it was the way it was. And like one of those games not everybody had access to right at their fingertips. And it kind of added to it in a weird way.
I think now that you brought this up, I'm gonna reach out to Kent and see if we can get him on the podcast. I think he would greatly enjoy this. And I think we could. We could definitely set a record for our longest Nebraska basketball podcast.
He could tell stories for sure. I mean, he's done decades, and he put out a tweet, the 82 team that won.
Yeah, I know. That was incredible. I didn't even think about that. He called both of those games.
Yeah, he called it, and he remembered the roster and all that stuff, and it has special meaning to him, and that's really cool. There's a lot of people who, like you were talking about, you're invested in Husker basketball. You've sat through some tough moments, and he's called a lot of tough games. And so when you do have a game like that, you got to enjoy it. You know there's more work to do, but a day like this, like when you're on the outside looking in, you don't have to get ready for Iowa. We don't have to put up any shots against Iowa Friday, as far as I know. So this is a day that we can just spend, you know, kind of relishing in a win that, like, really puts a just huge jolt into what this season can be.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Once again, encourage everyone to check out all of Brian's work at Husker247.com. If you know, you're just getting into basketball and you're really into football, good news. We have all of that as well at Husker247 and recruiting, of course, too. So all that and more can be found at Husker247. We'll be back with another Husker247 Hoops cast next week. We probably won't do a breaking special edition if Nebraska wins on Friday against Iowa. We'll see. I can't make any promises, but doesn't seem as likely. And of course, we'll have more content from Husker 24/7 throughout. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again.